Get ready to be inspired and empowered through God's Word as you now listen to the teaching of Reverend Sam Chiaka.
Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, while you are in Joshua, I want to beg you to listen to me very carefully in this series of faith. Very carefully. So the things I'm going to be sharing, like I said, will be the things you will need sooner or later in your life. They will be the things you will need. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3, we see right there a formula for victory. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Every place that the sole of your foot shall step upon, there have I given unto you. The stepping of the foot is an allegory. Many people are conversant with the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho, but they do not see in it that in the scriptures, the word of faith is dramatized. I've taught you several times that in the scriptures, you find the drama of the doctrine that is taught in the epistles. That which we find explained in the epistles, we see dramatized in the Old Testament in types and shadows. All right? He said that everywhere the sole of your foot shall step upon, there have I given to you. We see that play out in the story of Joshua and what happened with the wall of Jericho. The children of Israel were given clear instruction. The Jericho was a land that had been promised to them. It was part of the promised land. But Jericho was walled, and the people could not have access. The children of Israel could not have access into the land. It was well secured. We are told by some historians and Bible scholars that the wall of Jericho is not a fence. The wall of Jericho is a wall indeed, that the wall, the top of the wall is a street. The top of the wall is in itself a street. People live on the wall. So you can imagine how wide what you call a wall is. You could have horses and chariots riding on the wall. That is how Jericho was walled round. It is not a fence like you put a block on a block like what we have in our day to day. Jericho was solidly built with bricks. People sold. There were markets on the wall. People's houses were on the wall. There were streets on the wall. Horses and chariots could ride on the walls. It was that thick. This isn't something you can push down. The walls themselves were built with solid foundation. The wall, the Jericho, and see, I told you, this is a drama of faith. In the stories of the scripture, you see again how faith works. Repeated over and over and over and over again. Jericho represents that which a man desires. That which has been promised him. That which is his in Christ. The walls of Jericho represent that which stand between him and the achievement of that which had been promised him, or that which he desires to be or have. Hallelujah. Outside Jericho is his present reality. Now it says in Joshua 1:3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Joshua had to send spies. Joshua and Israel as a whole, pay attention, had not gotten into Jericho, but what did they do? They sent spies. Spies had to enter into Jericho, and just the same way Moses had sent spies to enter into the promised land, and they entered there to see the place. The spies represents what I'm about to share, and what I shared again, I shared to you on Sunday. Before a man can enjoy the reality of anything, he must first believe it. He must first see it in the spirit. He must have a solid grasp, a solid revelation. He must believe that it is now his. He must be able, that which we have seen, which we have touched, which have held, which have been held with our eyes, our hands have handled the word of life. You must be able to, having not yet physically possessed the thing, possess it first in the spirit. Until you have the revelation of being there, of owning it, of having it, and not be limited by your present circumstances. Until your, as it were, spies can enter into that land where you have not yet entered. A part of you, Israel had to send 12 men. A part of Israel must first enter there. They do not yet have it physically, but the spies must first enter there. Again, the principle of faith is being revealed. If you cannot enter into the reality of that which you are believing, that which you want, you cannot have it. You must first be able, by the word of God, enter into the possession of that thing in your mind. You must first see it. You must see, the scriptures must have first delivered it to you. How do you enter into the land? How do you send your spies? In the place of meditation, your imagination, by the scriptures, must have first been there. Now, this is not something you yourself are just trying to muscle on your own. Just something you are struggling to do. You must stay on the scriptures. Like I prescribed on Sunday, you must get the scriptures that align or that promise you the thing that you are desiring. You must be able to sit with that scriptures. Let the scriptures be all over your face. Put it on your walls. Put it on your door. Put it on your mirror. Put it in the toilet. Put it in your phone. All right? Let that scripture greet you everywhere. What are you doing? You are trying to get it to sink into your mind every morning as you wake up. Take yourself through those scriptures, recite them, repeat them. See, oftentimes we don't even realize how powerful these things are. They have to first enter you before you can enter them. See, the promised land has to enter you first. It has to enter your heart first before you can enter it. If you don't yet carry the reality you desire in your heart, you cannot be carried by it. You cannot enter it. This is how the kingdom of God works. Your spy must enter the land. Now, why is it a spy? I'll tell you why it's a spy. The spy enters the land that is about to possess. He is a spy because he is disguised. He must not be seen, known, or recognized that he is an Israelite coming to spy our land. So he enters there and mixes. The citizens of the land don't know him, that he came from another place and is trying to possess the land. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what you do in the place of meditation, as you lay claims on that thing in your mind, as you ponder through the scriptures, as you meditate on the scriptures, nobody sees what is going on. Nobody recognizes what you are doing. Nobody knows what you are laying possession of. Nobody knows. Just as the spy is unrecognized by the citizens of the land, you are unrecognized. Nobody knows that you are, nobody knows that you have yet possessed that thing you are asking for, that you are desiring, that you are praying for. You have to first enter there in meditation. The Bible tells us that the spies entered there and they met with Rahab the prostitute. They were able to win Rahab to their side. So Rahab is now one of them. But they have to return. Rahab is now one of them. But they have to return. Now, so they now have one of them who is part of the land, living in the land, left there to represent them. And so they go. You see, when you go there, so see, when you are meditating, you shut out all distraction. You have to focus to meditate. So I suggest morning devotion. See, your quiet time, your morning devotion, they are so important. They are your creative moments. Your tomorrow depends on what you are doing with the silent moments of your early mornings. It's so important. That time when your mind is not yet distracted, it's easiest to meditate. It's easiest to stay with the scriptures, the word of God, and what the scriptures promise you. Stay with it. If you have something you want to, listen to me. It doesn't matter your educational status. Anybody can effect any change. I showed you the scriptures on Sunday. Jesus said, whosoever can have whatsoever. Nothing is stopping you except that wall of Jericho, which you can overcome by sending your spies. Hallelujah. By your meditation, you send your spies. But you know you won't stay there all day. You will still leave there, close your Bible, leave your place of meditation, leave your place of prayer. Sometimes you are meditating while you are praying in tongues. As you are praying in tongues, you are keeping the vision. You are seeing the vision of that which you desire as you are going in tongues. It's still part of the meditation. As you are studying your scriptures, what you desire is there. You are pondering on it. As you are praying in tongues, you see the picture of it. See, when you are praying in tongues, you must be seeing. You can't be praying blank. You must be seeing something. Your heart must be on the thing. That's why before we ask you to pray in tongues, we give you a prayer point. It's not necessarily the tongue you're speaking. It's the point we get. That thing we gave you to hold on your mind. That thing you're holding on your mind while you're praying in tongues, that is the focus. That is you sending your spies into Jericho, into the land that you have not yet entered physically. But your spies enter there and they don't all come out. They get a person that lives there, a Rahab, converts a Rahab and come out. You enter there, you leave a mark. See, it has not worked if that thing has not entered you. That means even though you left your place of meditation and your place of prayer, you go into your normal daily life. Something has been deposited from that thing which you desire. Do you understand? That's Rahab. A part of you lives there. A part of you lives in your desire. You know, it's inside. You know. See, you do that by meditation. Until you stay in a place of meditation, until you have a Rahab, don't come back. That means don't stop. That's what I mean. You got to stay on it. You meditate. You're right? That's what you do. You meditate either in a place of prayer, with you having a picture, you're speaking in tongues, you have a picture, you have your scriptures that you're confessing, reciting, or declaring. You regale the scriptures with the picture of that which you desire held. I'm explaining this to you, brothers and sisters, so that I'm giving you practical steps on how to handle issues in your life. How to deal with matters in your life. All right? See, I tell you, if you never put your faith to work and get results by yourself, you will not yet understand the joy of the Christianity. As long as you cannot remember when you laid claims on something and you saw the manifestation of that thing, there is a there is
There's something about God you don't know. You don't know yet the reality of God. You will still be a follow. You will still be a pastor, pray for me. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with pastor, pray for me. In fact, you two should pray for me. But you will not have your own personal experience of knowing God because you have never proven it. You have never proven that the word of God is true. All you know about God is hearsay. It's other people's testimony. You have not proven the word of God for yourself. I'm showing you how to do it. Leave your Rahab there. That is, meditate on it until it enters you, until a part of you lives in that land, until the consciousness, a part of you lives there. We're not trying to psych you up that God will do it. You are not afraid. You have relaxed. You are at rest. That which was promised you shall be so. You're not afraid. You're not shaky. When your agitations are gone, your anxiety has lifted. That means a part of you lives there. As long as you are still scared, you are still, will it work? Will it not work? You don't still have it. Stay in the place of meditation. Continue every morning. You get what I'm saying? Continue every night. Stay at it. Go back to the scriptures. Stay at it. Pray again. Keep the picture. Stay at it. All right? Until you can rest. Now you have entered into the place of faith. Then you know it is yours. Your Rahab lives there. It is that Rahab that lives there that will lead you in your entry. Glory to God. The Bible tells us for 7 days they were to go around the wall of Jericho quietly. 7 days once each day. On the seventh day, seven times on that seventh day. Seven. The number that stands for completion. Perfection. At the end of the seventh day, they walk around. The seventh time, they were to blow their trumpet of victory. Again, clearly, we see the principles of faith. You don't stop until you know that you know that you know that you know that it is yours. Completed. You don't stop. You don't stop. How long is it going to take? I don't know. I don't know how your mind works. I don't know what you have been exposed to. I don't know how you were brought up. There are many conditions of the mind that determine how long it may take for you. I don't know. You don't know either, but you stay on it. You stay on it until you leave a mark in your consciousness. Listen to me. Every man's reality is his consciousness. As a matter of fact, there is no other reality but the consciousness of a man. That which a man is conscious of being, that he is. Whatever you are conscious of being. You know, I told you on Sunday, that's what you really, really, really believe about yourself. And that is what you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I usually add, as he continues to think, so he remains. You cannot be better than the state of your heart. What you consider yourself to be, that you are. No, I don't mean what you are saying with mouth. Empty talk. No, I mean what you truly believe yourself to be. That which you are conscious of being. Do you know that what you are conscious of being escapes out of your mouth without you trying? That's why I told you in your normal conversation, the things you say, that is what you really believe about yourself. And that's what will come to pass. That's what you are. You got to stay in the place of meditation until it is completed. Until you are changed on the inside, no change happens on the outside. To pray for an outside change without first meditating and causing an inward change is to pray in vain. Unanswered prayers are myths. There are no unanswered prayers. The problem is, are you really praying? Because prayer is not prayer until you truly believe that which you are saying. Then it becomes prayer. Prayer is not in the length of time. There are some prayers that is a training. And that's why when we're talking about prayer as training, then we talk about length of time. But as far as prayer and result is concerned, it has nothing to do with the length of time. Prayer as discipline. Prayer as consecration. And we'll talk about length of time.
But as far as results, transformation is concerned, length of time is not unnecessary. When the seventh day is completed, the seventh time is completed, you shout your shout of victory, your confessions of faith. You declare God's words over you. Yeah, you can be saying before then, but then that is the saying that really works. That's the saying that changes everything. That's the saying that brings down the walls of Jericho. Remember, you already have your Rahab inside. Listen, brothers and sisters, that's the formula of victory. This is how faith works. Glory to God. Old Testament, New Testament, the scriptures are saying the same thing. I'll give you again the story of Daniel. The story of Daniel is the story of every man of faith. The story of Daniel is the story of every man of faith. We are told in scriptures that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And while Daniel was in the lion's den, lion turned his back on the hungry lions that had been starved for this very purpose to eat people. But turned his face to the light that was above because he was thrown in a dungeon. Again, there we see the picture of how faith works. The believer, again, consciousness is being told. We have been told about our consciousness. Until you are able to truly turn your mind, in your eyes, away from the trouble. The trouble can be poverty, it can be sickness, it can be disease, it can be anything. Until you are able to turn away your consciousness that you are that poor fellow. Until you are able to turn away your consciousness that you are that sick and helpless fellow. Until you are able to turn your consciousness from whatever your present day reality is and turn it to the light above. The light in the Word of God. Only when you do that with the mouth of the lions, which stand for your present day reality, your troubles will be shut and they'll be unable to swallow you. What is the natural thing for human beings to do when they are thrown into a lion's den? You know, they'll be saying, hey, you know, try, your attention will be on the lions. Even though you can't do anything to stop them. You can't even stop one. No, talk of when there are several. It is said that the strength of one young lion is equivalent to the strength of 12 able men. The strength of one lion is equivalent to the strength of 12 able men. You can't do anything. See? Your attention, listen to me, your attention, your consciousness is what empowers your attention to that problem. Your consciousness placed on it is what empowers it against you. You must learn to turn, carry your consciousness away from it. But you can't do that by trying to forget your problem. And that's what a lot of people try to do. They think when we talk like this, we are saying forget. No, we are not saying forget. Your forgetting is useless. It won't work. Because that which is truly in your heart, you can't really, really forget. It's still there. No, what we are asking you to do is to stay on the word, turn your eyes, fix your gaze. Why we look not, 2 Corinthians 4:18, at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Take your eyes. When you take your eyes from that reality that you are trying to overcome, take your attention away from it and put it on that which you desire. Claim yourself to be that which you wish to be. Assume that you are it. Enter into the state of being it. You do that in the place of meditation. You do that by meditating on the Word of God. You do that by anchoring your heart, your thoughts, on what the Word of God says. And let me tell you, just like when you remove the head of a fowl, for a while the legs keeps moving, the body, in fact, it can run away. It can still run away without the head. It takes a while for it to die. That's the way circumstances are. When you remove your attention from them and keep it on the Word of God, sometimes they look like they are still there. But don't be moved. Their head has been removed. It will only shake for a while and look like it is so. It is not so. You have removed the life from it. Your attention is what gives it life. Remove the life from it and fix it on the word of God. Remember, I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with how big what you are desiring is. It has nothing to do with how great what you want is. It has nothing to do with how you have no means, no source of income, no helper. It doesn't matter. Worry not about how you are going to get there. It is inconsequential. Can you remove your attention by the word of God and give it to that which you desire? Can you find an anchor in the word of God and put your attention there? When your consciousness can enter into that and you can truly, truly believe that you have that which was promised you, it cannot be denied you. Hallelujah. No matter the trouble that comes against you, you can sniff it of life. You can remove the head. You can collect your attention and put it on that which God has said concerning you. Nothing is big enough to crush the child of God. The story of Daniel is the story of every man of faith. Indeed, the story of every man of faith in Scripture is the story of every man of faith today. There is no difference. We don't serve a different God. We will not experience a different reality. No. The Scriptures are true and the same for whoever will do them. If it has not worked for you, you have not worked it. I repeat, if it has not worked for you, it's because you have not worked it. This thing works. You hear what I'm saying? This thing works. It's time to get serious about your life, brothers and sisters. It's time to make up your mind whose word really counts in your life. The word of the president of the country? The word of the governor? The government? The word of your boss at work? Is your salary determining how well you can live? Do you not serve a God who can give you more sources of income? You think he cannot bring a helper to you? You think somebody cannot come to you with an idea that will bring you money? You think you cannot bump into a business idea? I call it bump into. You think all you have now is all there is? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? So I repeat, this is how faith works. Number one, determine what you desire. What do you want? Are you really clear? Because that's the first problem some people have. They don't even know exactly what they want. They have no idea what, they don't have a goal. The Bible says the ungodly are not so. They are like a shaft driven by the wind. They don't have a direction. All they know is that, well, I'm working. This is what I earn. I'm going to. No direction. There is no vision for the future. Or the immediate future. And when I talk about what you want, let me advise you. See, anything. There are no limitations about the thing, this thing. Anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said what? But let me give you a little wisdom on what you desire. Don't desire transient thing. For instance, don't put your eyes on getting something, even though you can get it. Put your eyes on becoming something that can bring you that thing you want to get and everything that is around it. Do you know what I'm saying? Rather than trying to get 1 million, 10 million, put your eyes on becoming something so that 10 million is not a problem. That's how I think. I think it's better that way. Because you can work your faith for 10 million. Actually, you will get 10 million. But the point is that once you have gotten that 10 million, you remove 1,000 from it, it's no longer 10 million. That started going down. You get what I'm saying? So that's the first thing. Determine what you want. See? One is either you determine what you want or God has already given you a vision. Or, see, maybe a prophecy, what a prophecy has spoken concerning you. God has told you something. It can come from you. It can come from God. Of course, it is always better to go for that which God has said concerning you. But if you are not conscious of anything, well, look inside. What do you desire? Just say whatever you desire, right? When you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. So, what is exactly the thing? What is the thing that is your vision? What do you want? That's one. The next thing to do, number two, is to close your eyes. I'm not talking about the physical eyes. Take your attention from your present reality and fix it on the reality of that which you desire by the word of God. That is, I said by the word of God, and that is very important, because what I'm telling you here is scripture. You have to get scripture and stay your mind meditating on those scriptures until those scriptures enter you. The scriptures agreeing with that which you desire, or that which God has promised you. You have to stay there. You have to stay there until they enter you. The Bible says that there is no one who believes in him that shall be ashamed. Stay on the scriptures. Repeat it to yourself. Repeat it. Get the scriptures. Repeat them to yourself. Repeat them to yourself as you think on it. Repeat them to yourself. As you're not confessing yet. What you're doing is meditation. There is three parts of meditation. All right? Meditation. Meditation is three phases. The first is that you ponder. Then you mutter. Then you roar. Okay? It's like when, you see, meditation is the same thing as when you are thinking. Somebody says, what are you thinking about? You think you don't meditate. Everybody meditates. It's just that you are meditating on the wrong thing. I'm just thinking. I don't know how we are going to feed. I'm just thinking. Ah, what you're doing is meditation. What you don't know is this. The same principle that works a miracle for you is the same principle you are using to bring yourself in problem. Because what you're doing is still meditation. And you will notice that when you are thinking, or what the word thinking, I mean more worried. When you are worried over something, it's still meditation. When you are worried over something, you are thinking about, you're thinking about it. You think about it so much, you get to a time you can even, you say it, and you know, you are lost. You start saying it. It will come out of your mouth. Because there's another level of meditation where it will start coming out from your mouth. It stays in your head first. Nobody hears. After a while, people will start hearing it from your mouth. You will mutter it. It will come out of your mouth because it has entered your heart. Because Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, speak it. If you meditate on the word of God that way, meditate on it until those scriptures are coming out of your mouth. This thing doesn't take ages. It takes concentration. It is focus. You can get results in 21 days. You know those days when we were in the church where we were, they used to tell us, when you have one problem, and they say, go and this thing, problems were, didn't threaten us. I grew up in a place where, we chew things like this. Challenge, we chew them. When you have a problem that everybody knew it in church, when you have, your case is so, you have a difficult case, you don't need to consult anybody. You just find time, take this thing in your place of work, and you come to church. I grew up in a church where it's always open. You can come and you come to church. You resuming in church. You have business to settle. Our generation has become too lazy. We don't know how to handle things. You have business to settle. You will be resuming in church. You will resume in church. You will resume in church in the morning. You have matter to settle. If the thing is sometimes it's 3 days. 3 days of resuming in church, morning to evening. Some is 1 week. It's a stronger matter. 1 week. Sometimes on day four, problem is solved. You are going 7 days, day four, problem is solved. The thing is, too much is a life and death situation. Let's give it 3 weeks. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. The thing is that we are not focused. We are not serious. A lot of that. We are not serious. You want to change things in your life? You have to get scriptures. Get scriptures. You lock your room. Stay there. Oh, there's distraction there. Go to church. Get the key. Get somebody. Can I get access to the church? Or go someplace else. Get away from this distraction. Carry your Bible. Carry your Bible. See, I told you on Sunday, even if you are too lazy to fast, you want to die. See, because you don't. Okay, eat. Eat, but come here and also eat the word. Come here also give yourself time. Like I told you what I normally do. 6, 9, 12, 3, I do that AM, PM. And this is what I do. I go back to those scriptures. Listen, once they enter you, those scriptures, you are talking to God. You are looking at those scriptures. You are reciting them. You are pacing. You are speaking in tongues. Your eye is on the mark. You can't do that for a number of days with concentration and not get results. Is that this thing? You try this thing or you're not doing it. The word of God works. Cheryl, brethren, the word works. If it's not working in your life, you have not worked it.
You have not done it.
You know, people in the church, they've been in church for 15 years. They have never walked the word. They have never said, let me get serious. Give me 1 week. They have never done it. And then they are complaining. I don't know. Things are not working here. I don't know. I don't know why my life is like this. Look at this sister that came the other day. I don't understand. You keep getting angry. Get serious with your life. Are you at the bottom of your life? You don't know what else to do. I told you what to do. Are you in the midst of a difficult problem? Is the whole world coming down on you? Is things about to go terrible for you? Listen, there is solution.
You know, there are some churches where they used to say they have prophets who used to stay on mountains. They say, you pay me money and I'll fast for you. Right? They say, if you can send in some money, I will fast for you. Money that we used to bring. So they will go and fast for you and tarry for you. What are they doing? Then they come and speak words after they have been charged for you. I'm not saying it can't work. It can work. In fact, in many cases, it does work. But the thing is that you miss the bigger blessing. You miss the bigger blessing of experience. You experiencing God's power yourself. In these days, several of us don't stay at home and don't stay and say, bring me money. Let me fast for you. Because we can't be living and waiting for people to bring us money to eat. The pastor has a family. And the economy is the same for his family as it is for you. He has to feed them too. And he's not going to tell them, you know, I'm a man of God. No. So he has to make money. He has to earn too. You better take your life serious. All right? Number one, decide what you want. Number two, get scriptures and sit on them until they enter you. Interestingly, it's about those two things. You can add number three if you want, which you would have already been doing in number two. It's confess them. Sitting on them is part of you. You also confess them until they enter you. Nothing shall be impossible to him that believe it. With God, all things are not said to God. He didn't say to God, all things are possible. He didn't say for God, all things are possible. He said with God. When you hear the word with, it means two are involved. So with God. Who with God? You. You with God. Your believing brings God on the scene. Nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can read stories upon stories upon stories of people who defeated poverty, who defeated incurable so-called sickness and diseases by the action of the word of God. He left them, disappeared from their system, and left no scar. There was no trace of it being there in the first place. God's word is true and it works. Amen. Give Jesus praise. Give him thanks. His word is true. Give him thanks. His word is true. Hallelujah to his name. Give him thanks. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's up to you what you do with what I just shared. It's up to you. It's up to you whether you take it seriously or you're going to joke with it. It's up to you. But God's word is true and God's word does not fail. Oh, Shaman de Kiga Zakata. E Primanga Sola Mandeka.
This message was brought to you by the Father's Family Mission International. For more information on our ministry schedule, how you can partner with us, or to download more edifying messages free of charge, visit www.thefathersfamily.org.ng. God bless you.